You know, we don't have to go a long distance to be near the Lord. He meets us right where we're at. He meets us right here on this church property. He meets us on the lawn of our home. But sometimes he invites us to go places. And so we're going to hear from a few people this morning before the sermon. Dawn, if you could come on up. As Dawn comes up, she's going to tell us about her time in Alabama. And it'll be brief, because I do have a sermon. But it'll be brief, telling us about her experience in Alabama working with families, with family members, loved ones with disabilities. And then in just a moment, as soon as Dawn's done, we're going to open it up because I want to hear what God has done in you and through you, those of you who were part of our Arts in Jesus camp this past week. So we're going to do a little open mic for that as well. So Dawn, if you could come on up and tell us, where did you go, what did you do, and how did you see God at work?
I went and volunteered at Hope Heals camp in Alabama, a camp where families where someone had a disability attended. Camp is where we as volunteers love on these families and make them feel really welcomed, making camp accessible and welcoming to families that often feel they don't belong. We had a talent show, 26 people or groups had acts, and we clapped for everyone according to how they wanted to be clapped for, soft, medium, or loud. God spoke to me as I watched that talent show. God doesn't want me to wait until I can do it. God wants me to jump in and do and be for him, even if it's imperfect. I was on the hospitality group. So we spent time making snacks for the other volunteers and families. At 3 o'clock, I was able to be at a lodge where several families were staying, and I talked with them and tried to build a community. Went back at 9 p.m. and baked chocolate chip cookies. We had a women's massage day, and I got to massage shoulders and necks. It was a wonderful few days of helping families feel like they were beloved.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you so much. This was, you can go ahead and sit down, but Dawn, we prayed for Dawn, and then, how cool that we, in a small way, get to, through our prayers, get to be a part of God reaching people and telling them that they belong in his kingdom. So thank you for that, Dawn. And you funded that trip yourself. So this was kind of her, what she felt God leading her to do. Who knows? Maybe she'll do it again next year or the following year. And if you want to do that and join her, you could see her after for that. Super cool. So Dawn went to Alabama, and some of you just walked right out these doors for our Arts in Jesus camp. Would love to hear from a few of you who were a part of that camp, whether you were a kid participating or a volunteer or a parent who observed the week. But we'd love to hear from you, from maybe three or four of you, and then we'll get on with the sermon. But we'll open up the mic. And if nobody shares, then I'll just preach longer, right? So, but we'll open up the mic as I get things set up. Come on up.
I was thrilled to be with the middle schoolers. There were 19 of them. And the fact that middle schoolers still wanted to participate, and they got to teach the memory verse to all the other groups. And I think it's important that we mentor. I had a high schooler that kept me organized, kept me on track, and that we mentor the next generation, our high schoolers, our middle schoolers, and beyond. And so to see this room and this group love Jesus, to our neighborhood and to the whole community was just a blessing to me.
Well said. Thank you, Marcy. 19 middle schoolers. That's a lot. Wow. Oh, there's some pictures. Yeah. Anyone else? Oh. Come on up. If you can introduce yourself to folks.
Well, hi, I'm Wes. Nice to meet you. I think my favorite part is getting to serve in that kitchen the past few years with Jane and Cheryl. Where's Cheryl? Part of it was really fun because just the crew we get to hang with the whole time. And Akriti, like, keeps us on task. And we have moments of breaks where we can simply watch what's going on. And in this room is all the dancing happening and watching Tyler and Amy teach these kids these dances and listening to the music is just the best. It's the best. And then I got to just go to each station each day and see what was going on and all the activity and all the things these kids are learning and all the fun they're having, the play outside, like, it's just the stinking best. And part of the middle schoolers, like Sophia, helping with our sort of story time, we did a little different this year. Sarah had us do like a drama kind of thing instead of just, hey, sit and listen to people talk about the Bible. Let's make the Bible come alive. And it was so fun. It was so fun. So just, I mean, this is probably the highlight of my summer here at Celebration.
Mm-hmm. So good. Love it. Yes, thank you, Wes. All right. The leader of us all here.
Good morning. I'm Sarah, and it was a big event to pull off, but it was, and very stretching to my faith, because what was it, like the Monday before we started, we were at like 40 kids, and I was happy. I was like, great, we're about where we need to be, and I'll assume maybe 5 more will come, and then by the end of the week, we're at 60. And I was just like, whoa. And a few more came the following week. So it was challenging to figure it all out. And I feel as if God made our t-shirts. I only ordered 45 for the kids. I felt like he broke the bread and gave it to a million people. And that's what it happened with the t-shirts. I felt like I only ordered 45 for the kids, and somehow we managed to get enough for everybody to have a t-shirt for the final day, with hats for the kids who had one from before could wear theirs. And it just seemed to work. Even the volunteers got t-shirts. And I'm like, I don't even know how that all worked, except it just did. So I'm so grateful to God how he worked out those little details. And on top of so many other things, like the number of kids in middle school, it's just amazing to see how many kids wanted to come and be a part of it. And then kids from GKPI,
Indonesian Church,
Church, they sent like 8 or 9 kids, and it was wonderful. We just had this place completely packed out. Every room, every pod, every space was full. And it was beautiful. I had enough volunteers. That was another thing. I felt like people kept saying, can I help? Can I help? Can I help? And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, what do I have them do? But it seemed like it worked out. So I'm so grateful for all of that. It was just such a blessing to see how God provided in the midst of it all.
So good. Thank you, Sarah. All right. We'll have Amy be the last one.
I just wanted to say that we really live up to the Party Church name during Arts and Jesus, I think. For one thing, it's just such a blessing to have lunch served at the end as a parent, you know, to pick up your kid and they've already been fed. But that part is just always so fun because everyone just gets to hang out and go eat together and meet people from the other groups and socialize. And it's really with the different... like the kids that came from the Indonesian church, it's just a picture of the kingdom, like seeing the kids worshiping all from, you know, all different backgrounds, different languages. It's the best. And one of the little girls up there one of the songs that we did spelled out G-O-D. And the first day, Tyler said, "What's that spell?" And she said, "Jesus!" And so it was just a fun little thing for the whole week and just like her just joy. And another little girl asked me just this morning, "Here, when are we starting camp again?" So anyway, it's awesome.
One of the fun little vignettes from Arts in Jesus Camp is we had some kids come and they don't, English is not their first language, and it can be hard for them to follow all the conversation that's going around. And there were a few kids for whom the first day was really hard because they weren't understanding things. And just to see how the other kids welcomed them and the volunteers and the helpers, by the end of the week, they were laughing and dancing on the stage, and it was beautiful and holy. So God was here. The kingdom was right here during Arts in Jesus Camp. So thank you for being a part of it, for supporting it, for praying for us. Thanks to Sarah for leading it. It was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So super fun. Jasmine started it years ago and it's continuing. So lots of fun. Such a flattering picture of me. So glad you got to see that. We're going to shift gears now from I think from the sublime to the ridiculous. But when I was a child, I don't know if you guys did this, I would love to pretend I was doing commercials during bath time. Anybody else do that? Where I would take the shampoo or the container, the conditioner bottle, and I would read it on the back in the hopes that my imaginary audience or my sister, who might have been sharing a bath with me, would want to buy my product. So I would read it, and I'd be really expressive, and it was really, really fun. And if there weren't any shampoo bottles or conditioner bottles, I would use the water. I would use the soap. I would use bath toys to sell my product. And a common phrase on the back of the shampoo bottles, can anybody guess what it was? Lather. Yeah, close your eyes. Lather, rinse, repeat, right? That was very common on all of the shampoo bottles that I would read. And so there was this Friends little sketch, the TV show Friends, that feels somewhat autobiographical to me. If you could show this, Alex. Lauren suggested I could sing it, and I just won't put you through that. It's 30 seconds, because I think it might need to be rewound. Is it still buffering? Can anybody guess who is potentially singing the song? Phoebe, right? Okay, oh, there it is, there it is. Here we go. No, it's not Smelly Cat.
I'm in the shower and I'm writing a song. Stop me if you've heard it. My skin is soapy and my hair is wet. And Tegrin spelled backward is Nergit. Lather, rinse, repeat, and lather, rinse, repeat, and lather, rinse, repeat, as needed.
Isn't that awesome? Did you recognize the shampoo that she said it's not around anymore? I don't think Integrin. She said an Integrin spelled backward is Nergit. Nergit. Love it. Lather, rinse, repeat as needed, right? Love it, love it, love it. But I would advertise that. My sister and I would advertise with each other, like the shampoos. We couldn't afford the shampoos because we were little children and didn't do chores. But we would say it to each other. And these are catchy words to remind us, just in case we forget, how to wash our hair, right? Especially if our hair is really oily, or maybe it's been a few days since we've washed our hair, maybe we need to do it twice, right? Lather, rinse, repeat as needed. So, in case you're wondering, today's message is not about shampoo or conditioner or how to use it, but it is about recognizing the kind of care that our souls need and repeatedly engaging in this care. It's not a how-to, like lather, rinse, repeat. It's not a how-to. But today, in this past month, has been about establishing rhythms to align our hearts and souls with God, to help us stay connected to Him. We're concluding our summer slowdown series. We've been going through this guide, and there's fresh copies in the back if you haven't gotten a hard copy yet, and they're in the weekly email as well. And it says it's summer slowdown, and the intention was just for the month of July, but this is really, I think, a guide for life, a guide to how to rest and to be still and to practice this weird thing called Sabbath that feels so countercultural to how we live and do things today. And so over the past month, we as a community, we've learned together, we've practiced a few things, and again, using this as a guide. We've talked about slowing down our exterior world, creating margin, becoming aware of how busy we are and how can we make decisions differently. We've talked about slowing down our inner world, all the distractions. If we slow down our exterior world, when we get kind of quiet, the distractions just really get loud in our heads, and practicing being still before the Lord and how to offer those distractions up to Him. And then the third part was to really, once we quiet our outer world and our inner world, He then surfaces things that maybe we've been trying to avoid by all of our busyness, and opening that up to Him. And today we're going to lather, rinse, repeat. Today we're going to see how can we keep some of these rhythms going. Not a how-to, but an encouragement to keep some of these rhythms going. It's not, these practices of slowing down are not a one-and-done thing. I slowed down 3 weeks ago. I'm good. No, it's an ongoing thing. It's a rhythm of life that we begin to practice. And the more we practice these rhythms, the more comfortable they feel, the more in tune we begin to see, begin to feel with God. We begin to recognize His voice, discern His voice among all the noise that we're hearing. It's a moment by moment, day by day, lather, rinse, repeat thing. And so this morning, we're going to dive into John 15 together. Great passage. And we're going to start with our reader. So if Ellie, if you want to come on up, and then John, if you want to come on up. Ellie will read in Spanish, and John will read in Japanese. Come on up.
Permaneced en mí y yo en vosotros. Como el pámpano no puede llevar fruto por sí mismo si no permanece en la vid, así como tampoco vosotros si no permanecéis en mí. Palabra del Señor.
Just beautiful. Beautiful. You read so fast. Just beautiful. I love it.
I promise to go slow.
We wouldn't know, right? Yeah, but no, go ahead.
ヨハネの福音書15:4。ですから私のうちに生きるよう心かけなさい。または私があなた方のうちに生きられるようにしなさい。枝は幹につながっている。つながっていなければ実を結べないようでしょう。同じようにあなた方も私から離れたら実を結ぶことはできません。どうも教えてください。
Beautiful. I noticed you missed a few words in there, John. So, I think I'm funny. No, thank you, John, for that. We're going to read in John 15. I'm going to read in English. I have both the NIV and the Message because I love both, but I'm just going to read from the NIV today. But you can kind of even read parallel if you want and follow along in John 15. John 15, verses 1 through 11. These are Jesus's words to his disciples. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean. Clean and prune are the same word here. You are already clean or pruned because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He drives it home more. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, get this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Why do we do all this? Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. These are the words of the Lord. So Jesus is saying these words, extending from chapter 14 all the way to chapter 17. These are the words, the conversation he's having with his disciples around a table. They're having their meal. And it's the dinner, this meal that is often referred to as the Last Supper, that famous painting is of. This is what they're talking about. And this Last Supper, this conversation, this meal was only a few hours before Jesus was crucified. And the surrounding context for the disciples, it's helpful for you to know this. It's not like they were going back home into their gated communities and having a peaceful evening. No, the surrounding context is one of uncertainty. There's Roman brutality going on all around the empire. And this group of people sitting around the table with Jesus are a motley crew. They don't quite trust each other at times, and they come from different backgrounds. It's almost like having, if you will, an uber-conservative Republican and an uber-liberal Democrat sitting at the same table with Jesus, and they're trying to process this. And he's saying, love one another, right? And when Jesus says that, later on in 15, he says, love one another. And I imagine the disciples saying in their heads, Lord, do you really know what this person believes? Do you know where they came from? Are you sure you know what you're saying here, right? But these are his words here, some of his last words that he tells his disciples. It's in this moment that Jesus sketches a picture of this new life, of what this kingdom life of following Jesus looks like. This new life is a flourishing vineyard. It's like a labyrinth of vines and strong branches steeped in rich soil, bursting with clusters of grapes hanging from the vines. This is the kind of life he is calling them to, this abundant life. It's a picture of abundance, of sustenance, of fullness. This is this kingdom life. This is what it means to live when Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This is what he's talking about. And he's using this metaphor that's familiar to them, not so much to us, unless we grow grapes, but it's abundant. In this life, it's about connection and attachment. It's about identity and purpose and beauty. And Jesus then says, he begins by saying, I am the true vine. So if he's saying, I am the true vine, what is he implying? That there are false vines, right? That there are vines out there that aren't true, that aren't good, that are false. That there are vines out there that promise meaning, that promise purpose, that promise success, love. Even that promise that, wow, if we attach to that vine, it will make us the best version of ourselves. But in the end, what we see in Scripture is that those vines come up empty and they don't bear fruit. They bear disillusionment. They bear anxiety. They bear fear. They don't lead to the kind of life that we were created for, that Jesus says comes from him. They don't bear the kind of life, the kind of fruit that we're longing for. And so as we bring this sermon series in for a landing, this sermon, we're calling it Abiding in God. That was the name that was in the Summer Slowdown Guide. I like that. We're going to unpack what abiding means. But perhaps the question that's underlying that is, what are you abiding in? Or what are you attached to? If Jesus says, I am the true vine, implying that there are false vines out there, the question is, What are we attaching to? There are true vines and false vines. Be careful what you attach yourself to. So just think for a moment. I'm going to ask you a few questions and just think. You don't need to answer out loud. But if we were to sit down over coffee and I were to ask you the question, what would emerge for you? Where do you find meaning and purpose? It's kind of deep. Where do you, not collectively you, but individually, where do you find meaning and purpose? Or what does success look like to you? What images of success are what you're aiming for? Come to mind when you think of success, what images? And then lastly, how do you receive and then give love? How do you receive love? How do you give it? And as the answers come to mind, I wonder if the answers that are surfacing in your mind, do they bring you life? Or do they leave you feeling like you're not enough? In my honest moments, these questions leave me feeling like I'm not enough. Actually, that phrase is something that I'm working on a lot with my therapist. This not enough. And it's exposing in my own life the vines that I'm attaching to that aren't Jesus. Earlier in this book, the book of John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And Jesus says here in this passage that there's conditions to this flourishing. There's conditions to it, that the branch has to remain connected to the vine. This word for remain, he says it a lot, abide, remain. It means stay. It means dwell. The Greek word is meno. To be held is one way of looking at it. I like the word attach. To attach. This idea of attaching ourselves to God. The branch attaching itself to the vine. The vine is the source of life for the branches. Have you ever seen a branch just lying on the ground flourishing? Chances not. It needs the vine, right? The chlorophyll and all that other good stuff comes through the vine. Don't look that up. I'm thinking that's the case. But whatever the branch needs, does the chlorophyll come through the leaves? So sorry. So this is why you do not come to me for science questions. But for whatever reason, the branch does need the vine, is the point, right? Forget about the chlorophyll piece, right? Right? You get what you get up here, right? But the metaphors here are obvious. I mean, Jesus just sort of plays his hand, and he says, I am the vine. I am your life source out of which everything flows. We, as his followers, are the branches. We have to remain connected to God in order to flourish. Here's the thing. What is he saying here? He's saying here, the invitation is for us, for you and me, to take hold of that which has already taken hold of us. He's doing all the work. Our invitation is to take hold of that and to cling to him, to cling to what he is saying is true and good. The vine is doing the holding. The vine is doing the growing. The vine is never not with the branch. The vine is always with the branch. God is always present to you. You may think you're running away from him, as we read last week in Psalm 139, but you are always in his sight. The invitation, the call for you and me is to keep coming back to him. There are true vines and false vines. Years ago, we preached on this a few years ago, if you remember, those powerful sermons that I gave a few years ago. No, we preached on it, and someone said, I don't understand that verse, apart from me, you can do nothing, because it seems like people do a lot of things apart from Jesus. And I thought, well, that's just a really good question. Why do people who are evil succeed? Why do people who do bad things succeed? They get wealthy, they have power, they do all sorts of things. It seems like they're doing lots of things. And yet Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I think what he's saying here is that apart from me, what you're doing won't last. There's no life in it. It's only death. If you want hope, if you want life, if you want peace, it comes from me alone. There are false vines out there that promise you things, and they may deliver at first. But ultimately, Jesus is saying, no, true life comes from me. So there are true vines and false vines. And then we see here that there are healthy branches and then diseased branches. So one of the trees in our front yard at our house, we have a lot of trees, and one tree last year looked great. Like it was just flourishing. Every branch was covered in green leaves. But something happened last fall, and some of those branches never let go of their leaves. And so the tree this summer, half of it is bare or brown leaves, and half of it is green leaves. And I'm like, how did that happen? They're dead and brown, the dead branches, they're dead and brown, but they're still attached. They're still connected. And when it's windy, when it's really windy, sometimes those clusters of leaves and the branches will fall. If someone could get that, I don't know where that is. But again, half of the tree has dead branches, half of them have healthy branches, yet they're both attached to the tree. If you could show these pictures, Alex. This one looks much healthier than ours does currently, but do you see how on this tree, the brown leaves are still attached? So out of the same tree, there's dead branches and healthy branches, right? And then when they fall to the ground, it can look like this, if you could show the next picture. Green leaves and brown leaves, right? So fascinating. I thought it was just a fluke until I realized, oh, those things are dead. They're not just dead, they're dead, right? So we need a trimmer. Mostly dead. And the reasons for why they're dead are varied, right? I mean, it could be overgrowth, it could be bugs, it could be disease, it could be all sorts of reasons why these leaves have turned brown, why these branches, the dead branches are somehow, they're still connected, but there's no life in them, right? In human relationships, especially parent to child, there's a thing called attachment. How many of you have heard of that concept? Attachment. There's healthy attachment between a mother and a child, and it's called secure attachment. And there's unhealthy attachments, avoidant, and I'm not going to go into detail because you can look it up and read it for yourself, but there's avoidant attachment, anxious attachment, and disorganized attachments. Those are unhealthy, diseased, if you will, broken ways of attaching to a loved one, to a parent. And they have great implications for how one grows up and functions in the world. These attachments, these core attachments, attaching to a parent, are the foundation upon which a child grows up and navigates relationships and their identity and their purpose and meaning. And so if it's an unhealthy, disorganized, avoidant attachment, it's diseased, it's wounded, it's broken. They're unable to attach in a healthy way, and they need intervention and they need help. The psychiatrist who developed this theory of attachment, his name's John Bowlby, and he says this. He says, we are only as needy as our unmet needs. We are only as needy as our unmet needs. It's kind of self-evident a little bit if you think about it, but yet it's powerful. Jesus knew about the importance of attachments long before John Bowlby developed this theory. A child's secure attachment to their mother is a picture of the kind of attachment that God wants us to have with him. The difference is, in a child or in a baby, the attachment is really based on the parent and what kind of attachment they offer to the kids, to their child. With God, the healthy attachment is there. He is ready with a heart full of love, who knows all about you and knows about your unmet needs, knows your struggles, and he is ready and waiting to bring his love, to pour his love out to you. But for you and me, all of us have some measure of unhealthy attachment, right? We somehow can't access it. Something seems broken. He's offering it to us, and somehow it's hard to receive it. He knows what we need. He knows how needy we are because of our unmet needs, and he wants to meet us in that space, and he wants to bring his healing into those spaces. So that's why he says, remain in me, stay attached to me, keep coming back, lather, rinse, repeat. Let's keep coming back to me, because that's where your identity, I give you your identity. I give you your healthy sense of self. I'm the one who gives you purpose. I'm the one who teaches you how to love, how to receive love, and how to give it. I'm the one who teaches you all of this. But you have to keep staying connected to me. I think those diseased branches that we saw on the tree and how we can transfer that metaphor into our own lives, I sometimes think that the disease branches that you and I have could come from those unhealthy coping mechanisms. Maybe it worked when we were kids, or in our 20s, or in our 30s, or in our teens, but they don't work anymore. I really do think, that sometimes the religious practices, how we used to understand God, how we used to follow him, they don't work anymore because our understanding is too small. And so he prunes some of those diseased branches, some of those half pictures of God. And he says, no, I want to open you up to something more that I have for you. And that's where it hurts, right? When he prunes and he cleans those things out, because you're like, wait a minute, I've been following you for all these years. This used to work. Why doesn't it work anymore? And what God is saying is, no, I have so much more for you. There's a lot more life that I have for you. And this is now getting in the way. Let's clear this out. Clear out this diseased, dead branch so new life can grow. We live from the vine, not to please the vine, not to make the vine like us, but we as branches live from the vine. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He's comparing his love for you with that of the Father. Kind of crazy. So how do we access this love? How do we feel this love? How do we tap into it? And so this summer, as we've been navigating this summer slowdown, we've been practicing how to identify maybe those diseased dead branches, right? How to, the busyness of our lives, which does not stop. It will not stop unless we intervene, right? Mine won't. This has been the summer slowdown, and I've had like one of the busiest summers. So I'm not practicing this very well, or I'm finding a lot of resistance, right? We practice slowing down and sitting still before the Lord. When we have had a really busy season as a family, one thing that my son almost always says is, oh, my cuddle tank is low, Mom. I need some cuddles. Sometimes he says that to avoid doing chores. And it works. But I can tell when we've had a busy week as a family. He'll come up to me repeatedly, my cuddle tank's low, Mom. And I just think that's a picture of what our God offers to us. His cuddle tank is always full, ready to pour into us and love us and give us what we need. We're looking for our needs to be met in these other ways. And he's like, no, come to me. I have what you need. So we've been practicing how to attach this summer. We've been practicing how to be still, how to rest, how to Sabbath with the Lord, slowing down. And there's practices in here. If you haven't looked at it and you want some practical ideas, there's some great ones in here. We've been learning how to discern God's voice in the middle of all the noise that we hear. We've been challenged to invite him into the places we do know about. There's a lot of wounded places that we're not yet in the know about. And God in his grace slowly makes those clear to us. But there are places we do know about. And he's saying, no, I want to come into that. I don't want to heal that part. It's interfering with your relationships. It's interfering with your peace. It's interfering with your joy. Let me come into those spaces. And again, it's not a one and done thing. It's a lather, rinse, repeat. We keep coming back. Did you know that God never tells us to base or build our relationship with him based on how we feel about him? Thank goodness, right? How often do you get angry with God? How often does God feel distant to you? How often do you feel hopeful or hopeless? A lot? Same here. Our relationship with God isn't based on how we feel, it's based on how he feels about you. And he's saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have pursued you with loving kindness. That's his posture to you. And he's saying, no, come back to this love. Hang out in this love that I have for you. I want you to remain in how I feel about you, not about how you feel about me. One of my favorite podcasters of the moment is Kate Bowler. She's a professor out of, did I hear a yes?
Yes.
She's a professor out of Duke University. And she says this. She says, what we need is not another reason to believe in ourselves. The wellness industry already minds us to live, laugh, and exfoliate. What we need is a way to be honest about what's broken while still leaving the door cracked open for hope. And I think when God says, oh, come to me, remain in me, hold on to me, holding on to you, he's not saying get your life together before you can come to me. He's saying bring it all to me and let me begin to work my healing. Let my healing power flow into you. Let me awaken hope, mercy, peace, love in you. God knows the parts of us that are unhealthily attached, the parts that are just dead and just hanging on, the diseased parts in which our coping mechanisms that have worked in the past but no longer work now, he knows those parts too. And in his deep, deep love for you, he wants to clean that out. He wants to prune it, which I don't think ever feels good. I just don't think it does. But the gift is what he's doing in the middle of it. His pruning has hope. His pruning is all about hope for you. And then lastly, and we're going to have just a brief moment for a reflection and prayer here, but there's a difference between the true vine and the false vine. There's bad fruit, there's good fruit and diseased fruit. And then he says, there's healthy branches and diseased branches. And then he says, I want to produce. I'm the one who produces good fruit in you. Jesus produces good fruit in you. What kind of fruit is this? John 15, verse 11, the last verse we read, he says, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete, full. True joy is produced when we remain in him. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel joy all the time. We're still this side of heaven. So we get to experience this joy, but it's not a constant thing. It's something that he is continuing to produce in us, and it's a hope that we have one day. We'll be in his presence, and there will be fullness, complete, perfect joy. And another fruit, in John 14, a chapter before this one, he says, peace I leave you, not as the world gives, but I give you my peace. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Stay with me. Remain in me. I give you a different kind of peace. Let's bring this in for a landing. This chapter is one of many in the Bible. I think you could pick up just about any chapter. Leviticus would be a little hard, but pick up any chapter and find something in there that speaks to your life today. Today we're in John 15. And the lover of your soul is saying, I have what you need. I know what you need. I know how your needs were unmet. And I know how you're sitting in the longings and the hopes of what could be. Come to me. Remain in me. Keep coming back. Lather, rinse, repeat. Hold on to me and let me tell you who you are over and over and over. He says, be still and know that I am God. Perhaps be still and know who is God, right? So I want to give you just a few moments to be still and to perhaps reattach to this true vine that is holding out for you. So I want to give you just a moment here. I'm going to guide you. If you close your eyes, I think that would be helps you be less distracted. If you fall asleep, you're just really tired, and that's okay. I'm going to give you a little space here, and I'll walk you through it. So we're just going to spend a few moments in silence. Just breathe deeply in and out. And slowly become aware of God's presence. And as you're quieting your heart and your mind and your spirit, I want you to reflect on this, these words from Psalm 46:10. God says, "Be still and know that I am God." Just repeat those words softly, silently to yourself. And as you do, imagine your whole being from the top of your head to the tips of your toe being filled with God's loving stillness. Imagine it moving down through your head, going out to your ears, his loving stillness, going down to your neck, and to your shoulders. Be still and know that he is God. As it goes through your arms all the way to your fingertips. And do that with the rest of your body, all the way down to your tippy-tippy toes. And if you get distracted, if your mind wanders, that's okay. Just come back. Be still and know that I am God. And now I want you to imagine this stillness, the loving stillness of God, flowing out from you and into every aspect of your life. Flowing into relationships. What relationships come to mind where God's loving stillness can pour out from you and into you? Perhaps your family, perhaps your work, even places that you visit, grocery store, Starbucks, frequently. And as you're imagining this stillness flowing out of you into these spaces, ask the Holy Spirit to give you an imagination for how his peace can work in the lives of those around you, how he can bring his peace through you to those around you. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you tell us that you have what we need, that you are what we need. And you keep inviting us to keep coming back, even when we fall away, time after time, to keep coming back. Your mercies are new every morning, to come back to you and to sit in your loving stillness and receive the joy and the peace and the hope and the purpose that you want to give to us. Lord, I pray for each one in this room that you would meet them in this space, that you would give them the courage to keep coming back to you and to stay with you. Thank you that you are always the divine pursuer of our hearts and souls and minds and bodies. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, I keep pushing this, but this is super helpful. You don't have to go out and buy a book on spiritual practices. This is just a super helpful tool that I'm probably going to go through again in the month of August personally. So I invite you to stand as we prepare to head out. Thank you for slowing down or attempting to slow down together this summer. A couple things before I send you out. Summer nights this Wednesday. So super fun, 5 to 8, come and hang out. If you want to come early to help us set up, we can do that. We're going to set up tables and canopies and stuff. So it's going to be lots of fun. And if you haven't had enough of Costco pizza, you're in luck because we're going to have more. I've had so much Costco pizza this summer. Whew. All right. I want to send you out with the prayer that is actually from this summer slowdown guide. And this is going to be your prayer as you leave. Prayer for us. Spirit of gentleness, love, and peace, fill us with yourself and help us to be peacemakers in our lives. Teach us to make Sabbath, to make rest, our daily reality, not treating it as a holiday destination. Make it a daily reality for ourselves, for our neighbors, and for the world. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.